ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. Israel continuing to bomb Gaza, including areas of southern Gaza, where it had told Palestinians to flee ahead of an expected invasion. Meanwhile, mediators are struggling to break a deadlock over delivering aid to millions. ABC's Rhiannon Alley.
Egypt has said the crossing is not officially closed, but was made inoperable due to Israeli airstrikes.
Everything is getting worse.
People in Gaza have been pleading for water, food, and fuel after all routes out of the territory were closed ahead of a looming ground invasion by Israeli troops. Hospitals are on the verge of losing electricity, threatening the lives of thousands of patients.
President Biden plans to visit Israel this week. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby telling Good Morning America
is making sure he gets an update from our Israeli counterparts about their plans, their intentions, how things are going on the ground, and make sure that he conveys a strong message of continued support.
This is ABC News. Police in Belgium tracking down a gunman who murdered two Swedish soccer fans, the attacker shot and killed. A new border controversy in Texas, this time not with Mexico, but with a neighboring state. ABC's Jim Ryan explains.
Over the past week, Texas National Guard members have been installing razor wire in a new place.
I saw for myself yesterday the concertina wire at the border of Texas and New Mexico, and I couldn't believe it.
Jerry Pacheco heads the Border Industrial Association. In a posting on X, Governor Greg Abbott said the barriers preventing illegal crossings from Mexico into Texas have been so effective that people are slipping into the U.S. through New Mexico and then coming east into Texas. Jerry Pacheco is not a fan of the new barrier.
It looks like we're in some occupied zone.
We stepped up our buying in September despite higher prices and interest rate hikes. Retail sales rose 0.7% last month, according to the Commerce Department. Justin Finch, ABC News.
Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know.
A Sheboygan County single car rollover leaves three seriously injured. The crash happened around 2:45 p.m. on Monday close to the intersection of Brazelton Drive and Cranberry Road in the town of Scott. A 21-year-old was driving and had two other men in the car, ages 37 and 45. One of the passengers was thrown from the car during the crash. A haunted house owner accused of repeatedly sexually assaulting a minor was in court yesterday. 37-year-old John Schwartz owned Scare USA in Manitowoc. Authorities charged him with repeated sexual assault of the same child who was a volunteer at Scare. Police officials say the victim was 13 when the inappropriate behavior started, and it happened as many as 18 times. Two Rivers police say there may be more victims. If you have any helpful information, please contact the Two Rivers Police Department. Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm, built for real life.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Its latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
On the oceans and upon our seas, fish full of mercury.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. You know, if you've ever, spent some time in a hospital and had a major surgery or any of those things, if you've lived a while, I'm sure you've had some of that. If not, you're fortunate. But what I want to talk about is the cost and why, you know, hospitals don't have to be transparent with what the cost is for the surgeries ahead of time. Now, you know, you got to have a surgery, and I think I've had a couple major surgeries. And you know, you don't think about the cost because you have insurance and you just assume the insurance is going to take care of all of that because the stuff is so complex. You don't know. But I do know afterwards, years afterwards, you start getting these bills, or maybe it's just me, about, you know, what you owe. And, you know, and I would often say, hey, man, when am I getting a bill for something that occurred 5 years ago? Well, you know, we forgot this and, you know, you still owe it. Insurance company didn't pay it. Yeah, it's 5 years later. Why are you coming with that now? Well, because they can. Because there has not been laws to prevent them from doing that. And so Joe Biden, again, to his credit, is working on preventing hospitals from coming up with all of these charges long after, you know, this should have passed. I know that in the instances where I wound up with these measurable bills long after my hospital stays that I assume were taken care of by the insurance company, you know, two years down the road, 3 years down the road, 5 years down the road, a bill pops up, $800, $900, you owe this. And so who am I? You're right. I'm just an average everyday Joe. I don't have ammunition to debate the hospitals who, you know, have lawyers and all those kind and accountants. And they say you owe it. You either pay it or they put it on your credit rating. Well, finally, there's, you know, people who are coming to their senses and saying, especially President Joe Biden, that this has to end. My argument with it is, why was it legal in the first place? So here in Wisconsin, there are right now a group of legislators, finally, Democrats and Republicans, who are considering a bill that mirrors one that the federal government has that says that hospitals need to show what the cost is going to be. So if I'm going to have a hip replacement, which is a normal kind of thing now, a knee replacement, they're pretty normal. I know so many people who had them done. It's a normal thing. Why don't you know how much that costs? Why won't the hospitals say ahead of time, this is what it costs for a hip replacement? Well, you know, the hospitals say that this puts them in a bad spot if they have to let you know ahead of time how much the procedure is. I don't understand that. What are we talking about here? If we're in a free market, which is what, you know, they keep telling people and telling me that we're in a free market, even though I know we're not. Just based on all the things that go on a daily basis, we're not in a free market. We need to stop saying that. Then why won't the hospitals tell you how much it costs for a hip replacement? Because then I could say, well, I can probably get it done $800 to $1,000 less at hospital number B as opposed to hospital number A. A new bill largely mirrors federal regulations. Wisconsin lawmakers are pushing to double down on requirements that hospitals publicly share the cost of a hip replacement or a biopsy so consumers can price shop and negotiate a better deal. Makes sense to me as a consumer. Why would any consumer be opposed to that? The only people that are opposed to that are the hospitals themselves. A new bill largely mirrors federal regulations. But proponents of enacting state-level requirements say federal oversight is spotty and consumers need more help. Let's go to Julie from Franklin. Good morning to you, Julie. You say what?
Hi.
Julie, you're breaking up. Julie, you're breaking up. Why don't you call back? Hang up and call back. Armed with this information, both employers and employees will be able to make informed decisions and, when the value proposition is right, save their hard-earned money, said Senator Julian Bradley, a Republican from Franklin, one of the legislators who introduced the bill. So I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican, but they all need to get on board with that bill. That's a bill that makes sense. We get caught up in all of these other things. Well, we can't support this bill because he's a Republican. That's a bill that makes sense. And everybody should jump on that bill. Hospitals say the move is unnecessary. And experts argue these rules have not necessarily had the intended effect at the federal level, producing information that can be inconsistent from hospital to hospital and also is often difficult for patients to decipher. Well, you know what's impossible for patients to decipher? When there is no amount you know, when you don't know what it's going to cost. I clearly can't discern anything when you're not telling me at all what this is going to cost me. But to say that if we tell you what it is, it's going to make it a little more difficult for you, you know, to figure it out, makes no sense whatsoever. Starting in 2021, hospitals and insurers had to comply with Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services regulations that require them to post more data about how much procedures and services cost. The rules were launched under former President Donald Trump's administration. Since those policies went into effect, however, there have been a debate over whether hospitals are complying. Now, this goes back to the first subject I was talking about with the red dye number three. Laws are being passed, they're being enacted, but they're not being followed up on. So even though this bill was passed, 70% of hospitals are meeting all requirements. The other 30% are not. So there should be a penalty for that. We'll come to Karina after the break because I want to give her a chance before we go to the break. Baltimore County researchers found that only 35% of hospitals, only 35% of hospitals were up to snuff. So only 35% of the hospitals are in fact following the law. Meanwhile, an analysis conducted by the pro-transparency group Patients' Rights Advocates pegged the compliance rate at around 25%. Again, the laws have been enacted. They're not being followed. So what kills me is that when we, the American people, don't follow the rules, don't follow the laws, then we are punished for it. And so they're going to make us follow every rule, because if we as the little people don't follow the rule, there's a penalty that we are going to pay. We've got to go to a break. When we come back, Karina, I'll come right to you. 844-967-2789. What say you? We'll be right back.
What about this overcrowded land? How much more will you from San Francisco? Can't you stand?
Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out. What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent.
They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at Interscholastic Athletic Events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly sunny skies and calm this afternoon with a high of 56. Winds out of the west, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows level off around 46. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Chance for scattered rain showers. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 63. Overcast. Upper 50s Thursday with a chance for scattered rain showers. Turning cooler Friday with highs in the mid-50s. Chance for showers continues. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 44.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning. And the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I'm talking about the fact that another one of these issues that shouldn't be happening in this country, and yet it does, the fact that you go into a hospital and, you know, surgery, and you don't know what you're going to wind up paying because, you know, hospitals, for the most part, the laws that are there, the rules and regulations, are not being followed. Federal regulators have fined only 14 hospitals nationally, only 14 out of all the hospitals, for violating the regulations, though CMS has issued warning letters to more hospitals and pledged earlier this year to start cracking down more aggressively. Well, why haven't they done this thus far? With all the hospitals in this nation, only 14 have been fined, and I guarantee you the fines are minuscule. Let's go to Karina. Hey, good morning to you, Karina. How you doing? Karina, we're having the same issue with you. I don't know if it's our phone. But call back because we're missing you. None of the violators have been in Wisconsin. Still, state lawmakers have pointed to the compliance rates as reason to enact a state law with its own transparency requirements. The federal government cannot be trusted to handle something like this effectively. Oh, we can't trust the federal government, says state government. And if we can't trust them on that. What else is it that we can't trust him on? All right, Karina, let's see if it's better.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay, so you're absolutely right, Earl. Money what they were gonna pay are minuscule, and the fact that CMS regulations requires to have a price list. It's called the fee schedule. To any medical facility before they're going to be open. So to tell anyone that they don't have a price is a complete BS. Now, why they're not showing it? You will see, if they show, they will see, you will see that they're charging for two pills of Advil, $60.
Yeah, I know.
You will see that for the surgery, when I had my OBGYN surgeons going into the surgery, regular scheduled surgery, and do it for 2 hours, they would receive $500 for a full hysterectomy. So they also going to show how little they pay to people who actually work for them. That's why the Kaiser is right now in the strike. Because the comparison, I was billing for St. Mary's and Columbia Hospital emergency surgeries and emergency department. So I know exactly how it works. And unfortunately, when I hear that the government start working on the prices, it makes me weary. And the reason is, last time they worked on pharmaceutical prices, you know who lost money? Pharmacies, not pharmaceutical companies. They cut off the reimbursement from the pharmacies. And they represented it as a help to people to get their medication cheaper. But really, the fat whales are losing nothing. So for them to show the fee prices would be basically very dangerous at this point for their financial situation. Everybody's going to see.
So I understand the danger for their financial reality. I'm talking about the people. Right? I'm talking about the everyday mom and pop who can least afford to be pilfered when they're having, you know, these surgeries and these things that happen to them. And you would think that the insurance companies would certainly be the ones who would be ringing the bell on this. But it just goes to show insurance companies are making so much money themselves that it's not a big deal for them, but it's those co-pays and other things that the people have to, you know, deal with and lose out on it during all of this time. Karina, I wish I had more time, but as always, thank you. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. Israel continuing to bomb Gaza, including areas of southern Gaza, where it had told Palestinians to flee ahead of an expected invasion. Meanwhile, mediators are struggling to break a deadlock over delivering aid to millions. ABC's Rhiannon Alley.
Egypt has said the crossing is not officially closed, but was made inoperable due to Israeli airstrikes.
Everything is getting worse.
People in Gaza have been pleading for water, food, and fuel after all routes out of the territory were closed closed ahead of a looming ground invasion by Israeli troops. Hospitals are on the verge of losing electricity, threatening the lives of thousands of patients.
President Biden plans to visit Israel this week. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby telling Good Morning America
is making sure he gets an update from our Israeli counterparts about their plans, their intentions, how things are going on the ground, and make sure that he conveys a strong message of continued support.
This is ABC News.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know.
Authorities continue their search for a Green Bay man who has not been seen since September 8th. 41-year-old Christopher Bellinger has been missing and is considered endangered. Bellinger's nose was injured during a fight right before his disappearance. He sent photos of the injury to his brother, along with a text that just said, "I love you." That was on September 7th, and the last his family has heard from him. Anyone with helpful information should contact local authorities. Parents, if you have a play tent at home, it might be on a recall list. WBAY-TV reports that thousands of tents are being recalled due to magnets that come loose and could be potential choking hazards. The tents in question were sold on GetTheFort.com and Zulily.com and run anywhere from $200 to $400. The company that makes the tent is out of business, so the Consumer Product Safety Commission advises throwing the tent out. Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
The bakers of Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads are proud to support local education with Loaves for Learning, the program that makes it easy to earn money for your school. Enjoy Country Hearth and Village Hearth all-natural breads, buns, bagels, and more, then save the UPC from the package for your school to collect and redeem. Each is worth 5 cents and can be used for books, computers, sports, music, whatever your school needs, up to $10,000 a year. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Be Volodymyr Zelensky be dealing with this when he's got his hands full with, you know, what's happening in the nation. Be Volodymyr Zelensky be
the very first time I look at you. Since that day, that's all I can do.
So when I say that with you.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Robert Amsterdam. He is, according to the former British ambassador to Russia, Andrew Wood, the word that best describes Bob is courage, both moral and actual. He raises questions that are not always welcome. Sounds like me. And that is often the proper business of a lawyer. Robert Amsterdam is an international lawyer with 40 years experience working on high profile cases in emerging markets. He is the founding partner of Amsterdam and Partners LLP, a boutique international law firm with offices in London and Washington, D.C., with an innovative practice exploring synergies between public international law, international criminal law, and political advocacy. We can go on and on and on, with your background. It is vast. But where are you at this morning? You're in Sweden?
No, I'm in Switzerland.
You're in Switzerland. You're in Switzerland.
Yes.
Let's talk about one of the reasons that we have you on. People right now, outrage, war is starting to rage in different parts of the world. Clearly, Russia and Ukraine, and now Israel and Hamas. And, you know, you want to talk about the Orthodox Church in Ukraine and the fact that, for whatever reason, Vladimir Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, is, you know, doing something unconscionable to the Orthodox churches in Ukraine. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. The Orthodox Church, my client is the Ukrainian Orthodox Church, which is basically the original home of Orthodoxy in Ukraine and goes back hundreds of years. It was at one point before the war connected canonically to the Moscow Patriarchate. And then, in fact, before the war, in 2019, the Ukrainians basically established their own competing church as a sort of political exercise. The prelate of Constantinople gave them the right to set up their own church, a Ukrainian church that was not in any way connected canonically to the patriarch in Moscow. And for some reason, I mean, the Ukrainian constitution guarantees freedom of religion, but because of the war and because of the tremendous animosity, which you can well understand, towards Russia, the government has taken some very aggressive steps to close down these churches, which use a different liturgy than what I will call the state church. Their liturgy is in old Slavonic. The newer church is using Ukrainian. And my clients, the Synod of the Ukrainian Orthodox Church, simply want to keep the faith and worship Christ in their own way. And for that, 41,000 of them have been interrogated. Some of them have been jailed. Their assets, some of the assets, have been seized. And given what's at stake in Ukraine, it is unfathomable that this type of suppression is going on during a war. Just absolutely unfathomable.
So I don't pretend to even comprehend the depth of the relationship and the history of that church and the orthodoxy of it. But at the root of it, is it somehow connected? Has it been connected with Russia?
In the past, it was. Last May, the church that I represent severed all ties with Russia. Because, in fact, the leader of our church was the first serious church leader to denounce Russian aggression. And our church, the Ukrainian Orthodox Church, has been in the forefront of assisting literally millions of refugees which have gone into Europe from Ukraine. And so we're bringing this to the attention of people in the United States, because we just think that there really is very little hope of stopping this inside Ukraine, because what we miss is that Ukraine is not much of a democracy right now. It's basically a militarized state with power completely centralized in various bodies that report to Mr. Zelensky. And the U.S. has provided massive amounts of aid. And one of the things we want is we want conditionality. We want them to lay their hands off these churches. Their allegation is that there's some, they feel some of the members of the church may still be connected to Russia. And, you know, what we've said basically is investigate, do what you want with respect to any individual you may think is conducting treason. But this idea of collective punishment and collective responsibility to literally hundreds of thousands of worshipers makes no sense. I mean, during World War II, even Stalin tried to work with the church in his country. And this divisive behavior of the Ukrainians is not only a gross violation of human rights, but when you're counting on the West for so much support, why would you ever engage in this kind of witch hunt in your own country?
So help us understand, what are they actually shutting down the churches? Are they jailing people? You know, what are they actually doing? And to the parishioners,
well, they are,
outside of taking away their opportunity to worship.
They, as I've said, they've interrogated 41,000 people. They have deprived the church of some of their key monasteries and churches. And there is a bill before their parliament called the Rada that would actually outlaw the church. That's coming. It is coming to be voted on this week, in fact, in Kyiv. And it would essentially outlaw this church that has represented the Ukrainian people for hundreds of years. It is absolutely scandalous.
You know,
and no one knows about it.
You know, Bob, many of us here in America know we really don't know the inner workings of what is taking place in Ukraine outside of the fact that, you know, Russia is at war and has invaded Ukraine. But we don't know the inner workings and the fact that, you know, that you and I guess others are saying that this is done for political reasons, and the fact that, you know, Ukraine is at war with Russia. Had that not been the case, these churches have been allowed to function inside of Ukraine without any issue.
Well, absolutely. And I think part of the problem is that even those of us who have become quite involved in Ukraine don't really understand. I mean, the Ukrainians have sort of adopted now this McCarthyism about anything that ever touched Russia, we need to, you know, wipe out. And their concern is that this church, which was at one point canonically connected to Russia, is harboring Russian supporters. But that is actually not the case at all. There have been some individuals who have been arrested. And again, I can't comment on individual cases, but you're talking a handful of people. There were same number or more were arrested who were part of the secret police in Ukraine. But nobody's suggesting you shut down the secret police. So there's got to be political reasons why this is being done. And what we're saying is these gross violations of human rights and denial of religious freedom should never be going on in a country that is trying to get into the European Union, trying to become part of, you know, European values and standards. I mean, this is completely unacceptable. And then you add to it the level of dependence on American aid, and you ask, how is it possible that, you know, a major arm of Christianity is being shut down in this way? It is just unbelievable.
So I'm not, you know, siding with either side, because I don't know enough to even, you know, begin to have an educated guess on what's right and what's wrong. Is it from the perspective of Volodymyr Zelensky and the Ukrainian people who have suffered mightily in this assault and in this attack? People can't, I guess, possibly see it from the perspective of he is just maybe so blinded by anger that anything that appears to be engaged or involved with Russia to him is a threat?
Listen, you know, Earl, I can't psychoanalyze the man.
Right.
I just can tell you that we would ask your listeners to contact their congressman and say something about the need for religious freedom in war and in peace to be respected. I mean, the bottom line of it is there's $70 billion of American aid, and you have to ask why police in Ukraine are interrogating 41,000 Christians at a time when every resource should be spent fighting Russia. I mean, it is this kind of internal paranoia and some of the strange goings on legally in the country that just makes you scratch their head at what their focus or priorities are. Because this should not be a priority. The kind of polarizing activity going on during a war, especially where so many members of this church have been fighting for the country, donating for the country, and working, you know, very hard and patriotically and doing their bit. It just does not follow.
So our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789 if you have a question or comment. Let me ask you, Bob, what is the response of the United States government to this inquiry?
Well, listen, there has been a response by the United Nations, which has...
United Nations is different. Recently. It's different than the United States government. So what is the response of the United States government?
The U.S. government in its State Department review has expressed concerns about religious freedom. But the United States government right now is being incredibly cautious in terms of commentary on Ukraine, which is why I was citing the UN report,
right,
which made it very clear as to their concern over religious freedom and the suppression of the Orthodox, the Ukrainian Orthodox Church. But, I mean, candidly, we've had many meetings and discussions in the United States with people who are deeply concerned. But the United States, I mean, it's a political football
right here.
Nobody wants to criticize Zelensky. And, you know, I certainly support Ukraine and its fight to keep itself sovereign, where you have, you know, an aggressive Russian state.
So let's do this, Bob. We've got to go to a break. Hold the thought. 844-967-2789. My guess is... Turn to Bob Amsterdam.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I just...
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Here's your updated forecast. A blend of clouds and sun this afternoon with highs around 56. West winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies. Tonight, lows dip down to about 46. Chance for scattered rain showers. Tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 63. Overcast skies. Upper 50s Thursday with a chance for scattered rain showers. Turning cooler Friday with highs in the mid-50s. Chance for showers continues. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 47.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10. On The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Song that we love to sing. Every time we hear the music and we're in this love together.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is attorney Bob Amsterdam. So Bob, in the final analysis of the what you are attempting to bring, I guess, is pressure on the Zelensky government via maybe, you know, the United States government through elected officials, or are you looking to maybe through the American people who are being exposed to this for the first time? Challenging, you know, at a time that there's war, what people are looking for is their faith, and trying to hold on to their faith as everything around them is crumbling, and they're certainly looking for their God, and so the impact of that happening now during the war, you say what?
Well, you know, I say exactly that, and there's something else. You know, in fairness, Tucker Carlson raised this a year ago very powerfully in an interview with Mike Pence. And, you know, he was condemned. People said he was a Russian sympathizer because it's almost impossible to criticize Ukraine in these, you know, tortured times. But I'll tell you, you know, from my standpoint, I'm barred from Russia. I was arrested in Russia defending a very important opponent of Mr. Putin's. I was arrested at 2 o'clock in the morning. I absolutely hold no water for the Russian Federation or their aggression in Ukraine. But I have to say that I also won't stand by and let churches be closed and Christians be interrogated and jailed for the fact that they're trying to exercise their religious freedom. And we can't allow ourselves, and there's this sort of McCarthyist emphasis now that any criticism of Ukraine is unacceptable. And that's led to this feeling that the Ukrainian authorities have of complete impunity. And it's not only exhibited with respect to the church, it's exhibited with respect to how they've dealt with businessmen and other people who don't agree with them.
But
it's got to stop.
But you do understand why people who see the fact that these people have been invaded and clearly have suffered greatly, that why people are sympathizing so much with Ukraine, more so than they would with Russia.
Totally. And I'm with them. That's the whole point. You know, I completely support Ukraine. I have fought for freedom in Russia for many, many years. When you know, Putin was just closing down civil society. But to be very frank with you, I'm seeing some of Putin's tactics being mirrored in the Ukrainian government, and I'm not going to be silent, and I'm not going to let these fundamental freedoms in Ukraine be suppressed. I'm not going to let people inside the government steal assets using the war as a cover. I mean, we've got some pretty serious things going on in Ukraine under this fog of war. We have no rule of law in Ukraine right now. And that's why they can get away with something like shutting down these churches. And people need to be aware. And people need to, you know, when you're giving $70 billion in aid, you need to be able to have a voice to say rule of law is necessary.
You know, Bob, people may ask the question, I mean, you know, what your nationality is, because, you know, to point the finger at Ukraine right now and with what is transpiring, and people will probably ask the question, well, I wonder what his nationality is, because, you know, he's talking about Ukraine and Russia, and Russia is, you know, they created this environment.
Listen, Russia didn't create Ukraine's environment. That's what's important.
Okay.
These problems in Ukraine have gone on ever since Ukraine was independent in the early 90s. The problems internal to the government, the corruption, these kinds of issues have been going on for a long time. And I mean, you know, I'm Bronx born. It isn't like I'm, you know,
right.
I'm Bronx born. I've been arrested in Russia. I'm banned from Russia. I'm hardly a Putin sympathizer. You know, I gave a keynote address at a major Ukrainian conference a few years ago. I'm absolutely pro-democracy, pro-rule of law, and pro-Ukraine. But you cannot adopt an unquestioning attitude when something as fundamental as freedom of religion is being challenged. And if people want to condemn me for it, you know, go right ahead. I've done and represented a lot of unpopular causes. I took on the United Nations and concerning their behavior when it came to some of their African staff. I took them to court in Kenya in 2013. You know, I've done a bunch of cases where it's been sort of tilting at windmills, and this may be another one, but I just do not accept shutting down churches and attacking people who are Christians because they're Christians.
Oh.
I'm a Jew. I don't accept it when people are attacked because they're Jews. It's just not, whatever the situation is, there's got to be basic rights respected.
You know, Bob, it's been a long time since you and I last talked. Let's make sure it's not so long the next time.
Well, my pleasure.
Yeah, thank you
so much.
Thank you, as always. That's Bob Amsterdam, and we got to get out of here. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin. I'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there. See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media ABC app. News.